It's time to get the inside scoop on the Utah Jazz. From the play-by-play voice of the Jazz, David Locke.
Sweet revenge!
Presented by Murdoch Auto Group. Ow! On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Hi, David.
Oh, Scotty G, how are you?
I'm better now. I get to chat with you. How are things?
I'm in my van at Falls and Skewer. What else do I need in life?
Life is good. Life is good. The van holding up all right? You put on a few miles on that bad boy.
I'm beating it up pretty good, and I'm not great with it, but it seems to be all right. It's got a bunch of little things it needs to get fixed.
Yeah, well, such is life.
Yeah, but it's pretty great. I'm just sitting here having a little leftover food that I microwaved and having lunch and talking to my friend.
So hey, how
out, get out an hour or two of runs in, head on down, call a game.
I'm not asking you to evaluate. I'm just asking you as an observer. Will Hardy's been asked to do yeoman's work. The youth movement, juggling lineups, sending messages to rookies the other night. Again, I'm not asking you to evaluate, but how have you been observing him in handling a situation that's not an easy situation to be in?
I think he's done a fabulous job of maintaining perspective and maintaining principles of what's important.
What is important?
Was that unusual that I actually gave a short, concise answer?
I know, it did take me off guard a little bit.
Sorry.
So,
I think he said it in a post-game after the Clipper game. It's probably not the things most people are looking for. It's not if a shot goes in. It's not if you're scoring. It's, you know, are you running the floor? Are you competing? Are you cutting when you're supposed to? Are you spacing how you're supposed to? Those type of things, playing winning basketball, are you playing with force? I think are the things that Will Hardy thinks are important. And I think more importantly are controllable.
David, out of these three first round draft rookies, how many of them do you think are a future piece for the Utah Jazz?
Well, I think all three of them can be.
We've asked you to analyze Keontae George at great length, then Taylor Hendricks. Give me your thoughts on Bryce Sensabaugh.
Well, I think he's got a real offensive bag. Like, he can score it, and he's the best shooter of the group naturally. He's learning how to use his body in the NBA. It worked for him really, really well in college to be bigger and stronger than everyone. You can't bully people in the NBA. So he's had to adjust off of that and maybe learn how to play a little differently. And there's times when you see him go into a move, hit someone and think he's going to have space to shoot, and he no longer does. But I think he's got a lot of skills. Like, he can really shoot it. I think he's got some playmaking skills. He makes, talking to the coaches, he makes really good reads on the pick and roll and makes the right read on the pick and roll almost all the time. Defensively, I think it's a struggle for him. He will probably get in a little bit better physical condition now that some of the size things don't help him as much. You know, he's probably a little bit of a give and take in the past. If I'm bigger than everyone else, I can score, and and I'm not facing guys that can take advantage of it defensively. Well, now you are. So you probably have to get a little slimmed down a little bit, and then you'll lose that aspect of your offense, but I'm not sure you actually have it. So I'm encouraged on him. I think he's shown a lot of things.
So, David, another important postseason, offseason that's going to be coming up for the Utah Jazz. Do you think that they select with each of their three picks that they currently hold? Or do you think that they try to move and package?
And this was the whole question last year, too, right?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The kind of line that I danced on that one was I always said yes. I thought they would take all three picks only because you have to find a partner to tango with, right? It's hard to find somebody else to take your pick. I think with the way – and I don't actually know if any of these teams – so I have not researched this, so you're ahead of me. so I'm going to have to phrase this correctly. If there are teams in the draft that are tight or in the luxury tax, they would probably love to take the Jazz 31st or 32nd pick. That there's a real argument for them that choosing 31, 32 might be better than choosing 24. So I think that pick's going to be able to move quite easily. The 28, 29 pick, I think, will be harder to move. Unless there's somebody who's just not in the draft that needs a player. But most of the teams that need a player like that are going to go to the veteran minimum instead of a draft pick because they can get them to play. Because they're going to, you know, Phoenix is going to just try to, you know, Phoenix is all, you know, Phoenix is going to go look at Micah Potter and Johnny Juzang, right? That's what those guys are playing for right now. It's Phoenix and Milwaukee and these teams that have no room. Denver's done it differently. Denver's drafted really well the last few years and added Christian Brown and Peyton Watson and some of these players. But that's, you know, they don't have a lot of room either.
When are you going to start looking at the draft? Or have you already started looking at some players?
I watched like 10 minutes last night.
Well, that's 10 minutes more of college basketball you've watched all year, so that's good.
No offense to you as a college basketball fan, but it was 10 more minutes than I needed to. Wow, last night was hard. I understand it's for the national championship, and it might be because of the arena. I just can't imagine that helps those kids at all to play in that setting.
Yeah, Ken Pomeroy has done a lot of research on that, and those football stadiums do not do well for shooting, that's for sure.
Yeah, what did Purdue take, 1-3 in the first half?
Yeah, 7 for the game for a team that came into the game number 2 in the country in three-point shooting percentage at like 42%, and they go 1 of 7, and the 7 is as almost surprising as the 1.
Yeah, I mean, I guess give Connecticut credit that they're doing something to take that away, but boy, whew, that was rough.
What do you think of Edie?
So that's the first time I've really watched him. The 10 minutes I watched, he got beat twice on that backdoor dunk. So I'm sure that taints me a little bit. People I've talked to think he'd be fine in the NBA because he's just so big and he has really good hands. In a league which is switching, like, I don't think you can switch if Zach Edey's on the floor, can you?
No.
Right? Like, if you're playing 1-5 switch and Zach Edey sets the pick at the top and rolls your point guard down to the bottom, you're in a lot of trouble.
Oh, yeah.
I think.
Yep. 100%. I sat in on Utah State's shoot around on that, and that was something that was brought up multiple times. I mean, there were a lot of other issues that bit Utah State in the butt, but that was something they were well aware of.
So I think he'll be able to do that in the NBA. I was concerned for a 7'4" guy, he seemed to have a lack of a vertical presence in the drop, if that makes sense.
Yep.
Again, there's about 10 minutes of watching, and he got beat on 2 backdoor dunks. The other big got behind him on both those. And then, obviously, quickness, changing ends of the floor, and lateral movement. But I'm not sure, like, Brook Lopez has a million times better lateral movement than him, and he probably should have been the defensive player of the year last year. So I think he'll be able to play in the NBA. And his offensive skills are, like, he'll be able to play in the NBA, and offensively he could be a problem in what we're just talking about right there.
David, who would your NBA MVP vote go to?
Jokic.
Who should be the team that Denver is concerned about the most in the West?
Dallas.
Interesting. Why do you think they've turned the corner like they have?
Well, they made 2 really good trades at the trade deadline. They added Daniel Gaff. So Derek Lively is good, but he's a rookie. He doesn't really know what he's doing. So then they saw what he could do, and they added Daniel Gafford, who's actually just good and knows how to play a little bit. And so now they have Lively and Gafford, so they have 48 minutes of center. Luka's unguardable. And then they added P.J. Washington, who, if he shoots it well, they're really going to be pretty unstoppable. I'm a little concerned that their shooting's not quite good enough. Derek Jones doesn't shoot great. I'm having a hard time believing that Dante really can shoot it well enough. Sorry, too many, like, years. And then PJ Washington and Tim Hardaway Jr. are not very great shooters, and they're gonna have to make shots because at some point. On the other end, like the minute Luka's on the floor, you're playing 4-on-3, and then Lively or Gafford's rolling. Now you're playing 3-on-2. So if you're spacing the floor, you're going to get a wide-open look every time. They've been much less three-dependent since the trades, interestingly enough, too. And then they're defending. Like, they're defending. I think they're, like, one of the top five defense teams in the league over the last month. So they're really good. I've thought this for a long time, actually. I mean, really early on in their process. And I just think Luka's amazing. Like, in the playoffs, Luka's incredible.
David Locke joining us right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Have I asked you my 10-year question?
No.
You have a franchise. There's no players have been released from all their rosters. So every player is available. You have a franchise for the next 10 years. At the 10-year mark, you have to give it up. Who's your player? Who's your first pick?
How old's Luka?
23, 24.
I'd take him. Nah, no.
I had three different number one picks.
I like
from people.
I might go Shea.
Oh, that's a fourth. That's a new one. That's a new first pick. Hands?
I'm still going Nikola Jokic. He's just such a unique dynamic guy.
I went Luka. Almost everybody else I talked to went Victor. I think Keontae George, I'll give him credit, went Jokic. And I think that's the right pick because he wins you the title.
Right.
The next two or three years.
Yeah.
And then you figure out whether you win a title for the next, right? Your Victor and Shea and Luka were all banking on a title in a few years. Nikola wins you the title the next two or three.
Well, out of all the names that you've given, the only one that really has the championship is Nikola. I don't feel like Luka can do it by himself. We've seen Luka absolutely nosedive without the right team around him. I mean, he puts the numbers up, but his team doesn't do anything.
Oh, I haven't seen that. I don't know if I agree with you on that.
Well, tell me his postseason success.
Well, he was unbelievable in the bubble, and he was pretty darn.
I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about his team.
Didn't Dallas go to the? They've won probably three playoff series with Luka. I think you got to remember how young he is. He's 25. You know, like Giannis wins his title at 28. LeBron wins his title at 27, 28.
So they went to the conference finals in 22 and
that's two playoff series.
Swept. They went 1-4. And they've been bumped in the first round every other year.
Yeah. So, I mean, he's won two playoff series. I think that's a lot for 24.
Yeah. Two playoff series in a single year.
Well, yeah, I got opinions on him. I love him. I love watching him play. I love everything about his game. And frankly, I'd give my left you-know-what to see him in a Jazz uniform.
Like every asset we have.
Yep.
Every single one of them. Plus yep. The more we can't know we have.
And I'm not trying. And look, I'm not. I know everybody's like, oh, we might have a shot at Luka. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, just in dream world, NBA 2K, I don't care. Whatever I got a mortgage to do it, I do it.
Here, you want the scary thing about the conversation we're having?
Absolutely.
Nikola, Shea, Luka, Victor. I would go Anthony Edwards over Shea, by the way.
Okay. I could see that.
All of them are in the Western Conference.
Yeah.
How come none of us?
I'll tell you what. You know who else I would go? If what I saw the other night could last. The other night against Phoenix. The 7 minutes to close the game by Zion Williamson were the most dominating 7 minutes I've seen by any player all year.
Yeah, it's not sustainable, though.
Nope. That'd be like taking Joel Embiid.
I don't disagree with you, but enjoy those 42 games a year. So,
how many has he played this year?
I don't know. I'm just spitballing here.
No, I got it, but like he slimmed. I mean, I cannot. It was He had three blocks. He was guarding Beal, Booker, and Durant. He was he was dominant. He's only 23.
He's got 66 this year, but he's averaging probably 35.
Oh, sure. He's had like years of zero and two. Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, Ant, I'm with you. But
I know. If I can get 65 out of him every year, then yeah, let's roll, baby.
Right. Oh, my. But, I'm telling you.
But here's the thing. Like, if that's how we're drawing this, then it would be Joel Embiid. I mean, because Joel is, what, 29? Or is he 30 now?
Well, yeah, and, but then that means you're taking him into 40.
Yeah, but I'm going to get 6 years of him being near MVP level.
Yeah, we're guaranteeing health?
No, that's what Hans is saying. If we're going 60, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. With Zion, if you're saying Zion, I would say, well, I'd take Joel Embiid with those parameters over Zion.
Oh, yeah. If you're guaranteeing health, you might have to go into Giannis, too. He's 29.
Yeah. David, you're the best, man. We appreciate it. Enjoy those couple of rides and enjoy the rest of the season. And looking forward to wrapping things up and kind of looking back and looking ahead as well. So thanks for your time.
Yeah, talk to you soon.
You got it.
Buddy.
The great David Locke right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.